Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About Christianity.
Hey, Zach.
Was that better, Keith? Was that better than last week?
I was a little stronger than last week. Last week was weak. It was terribly weak.
It was weak. I will give you that. It was not very good. I had a headache that day. My allergies were killing me.
And it was just
one thing after another. You know, it was like
this
a bunch
is
of
so sad.
It is. It's like dominoes.
Do you have any other sad stories?
You going to play your imaginary violin?
No, I was thinking, you know, maybe we could, like, take your life and sell it to Hallmark.
You can take anything and sell it to Hallmark. They'll make a movie out of it.
So, yes, we are here today to get this episode recorded for you.
And I wish you guys could see Keith right now. He is literally in the nursery at Saxton. At Shady Acres, and he has elephants and tigers and bears and zebras and giraffes behind him, and he's sitting in Mother Goose's chair.
This is actually the new wallpaper for my office.
But, I like it. I like the touch. I like the decorative touch, Keith.
You know, here's what's funny about it. Yes, I am in the nursery. No, this is not wallpaper for my office. But if this were the wallpaper for my office, I would like it, you know. I mean, how could you not like it? But,
it looks good, Keith.
I've been thrown out of my office again today, just like I was last week. I don't really have an office. Last week they were painting. Today they're laying carpet. Don't know what they're going to be doing next week, but, you know, we'll deal with it, whatever. But I could not go back to the sound booth again.
Right.
It was just too dark in there. When we got done recording last week after sitting in that dark sound booth for, you know, an hour and a half or whatever, and staring at the computer screen, I got done and went outside, and I could not see anything.
Did you have to readjust your eyes to the sunlight?
I did. It was terrible. And so I said, you know what? I've got to find somewhere brighter. And where could I find that was brighter than the nursery?
Right. Children are bright and happy and radiant.
Radiant children, yes. So... that's the story of why I'm in the nursery today. But, hopefully I'm not sure that my office is going to be done next week or not, but hopefully soon it'll be done. If I'd had time, I would have gone back to the house and sat, on my patio today, because it's just gorgeous outside.
It is.
Fall does not get any better than this.
Fall. Fall's my favorite season, and it is officially here. So I'm excited about that.
It's
so brief, Keith. It lasts so little. It only lasts about a month and a half, possibly.
Yeah, as opposed to summer, which seems to go on and on
forever.
We literally went from highs in the 90s to highs in the 50s within a week or within a couple of days. But
when I came to the church building this morning, it was 43 degrees outside at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were down around 30 a couple of mornings. And, you know, we're just saying this to rub it into the listeners who are to our south, who don't know what fall is and, you know, who have forgotten just how refreshing it is to have that shot of cold air come in and just bring some vibrancy to the air.
I don't know about you, but the leaves here in the eastern Kentucky hills haven't even started changing yet. I mean, it's still pretty green.
No, there are no leaves changing here yet, and that's kind of sad considering, you know, we're, what, a week away from November?
Yeah.
I want to say this and sort of hopefully give a preface, but we were talking about the number of times that we've been turned down, that people did not just flat out did not want to come on the program with us, and we still want to say thanks to Alan Webster. You know what? Let's let's try to get Alan Webster back on the program.
Sounds cool to me. We got a cool gadget that we can do so much with, and we haven't even – we're just now getting the hang of this, getting used to it. But we've got so much we can do with this.
So
I'd like to get John Farber on the program as well.
I was just talking to John Farber just a moment ago.
He's been a big help to me lately, so I would love to get him on the program as well.
Let's work on that. All right. Okay, so Eric Owens, he wasn't having any part of it. Terry Frizzell, just kind of cold the way Terry blew us off.
It was cold. It was cold.
So, we've got a meeting going on here at Shady Acres with Spencer Furby from the Valley View Church of Christ in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And so, I like send him I talked to him last night after the meeting and he's like, I'm on board. I'm looking forward to this. And then he was supposed to be here this morning and then he genuinely got derailed. It was not a, I'm looking for an excuse not to come on the program with you.
He didn't brush us off. He really did,
have something come up, at literally the very last moment. And, hopefully he is going to be able to shake loose and come join us, at some point soon. Time marches on. We really couldn't afford to wait on him this morning because, lunch is going to be here before we know
it. I'm hungry. And I've got a headache, too.
Not missing lunch. So,
no,
that's okay.
I can't afford
to miss
my
violin. Here's my violin. Headache again this week and allergies.
We'll get you back.
So let's see, you've got basketball practice going on.
Oh yeah. Basketball season is upon us and it is awesome. I'm so happy right now. That's the thing that pushes me through my day to get to 5 o'clock.
There you go.
Okay. We do have a area wide youth Devo for those listeners who are in the, Eastern Kentucky portion of, congregations. We have that going on November 4th, that is not this Sunday, but the next Sunday, and that will be your speaker will be yours truly, and it will be at
the warning.
Yeah, and it will be at the Paintsville Congregation.
Zach, you're trying to get people to come.
Yeah, we don't need to tell them who the speaker is because then they won't come. I get what you're saying, but it's going to be at the Paintsville Congregation. We hope that all of you guys will come out. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a Devo, then we're going to do some games, eat some pizza, and stuff like that. So that's going to be real fun, and I would tell you the topic of my devotional, but I don't want to scare people off, so I'm not going to.
I thought you were going to say, in other words, you don't have a topic yet.
Yeah.
But, I've
already got it down. I'm ready to go.
And incidentally, that is Time Change Sunday also.
Yeah.
So, you're going to fall back. I can't remember what you have to do. You get to sleep an extra hour that day, I think.
Is it fall? Yeah, it's fall back, spring forward. So, yeah, I get to sleep an extra hour.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
So you'll need it that day.
Oh, yeah.
We've actually, this is just congregation-wide, but we've got one this Saturday night here we've got a hayride planned. And incidentally, I will be speaking at that one. And
Keith,
I do,
you don't want to scare people off. You want people to come.
I do have a topic. I'm one step ahead of you.
Right.
But, I would tell you what it is, but then you would probably steal my idea and then make it sound like I stole it from you. So I'm not going to tell you what,
that's exactly what I do. You know me all too well, Keith.
Yeah. We are, I meant to look and see what episode number this actually is, but I was looking, well, when I uploaded the file last week, because, of course, if you've been listening for any time at all, you probably have this figured out that Zach does most of the social media stuff. And
almost all.
And I do the audio side and do that. But yeah, this is season 2, episode 18. Can you believe it?
Season 2, episode 18.
This is episode number 63 overall.
That's 63. Awesome. 63.
Yeah.
63
so, of these, Keith. So you know what that means?
What does that mean?
Before long, we're going to be to episode 64.
We are.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know. At some point, we need to maybe when we get to 100, we could do like a, you know, the best of episode, you know.
Yeah.
You think that sounds like a good idea?
That sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah.
I'd like to give the day before we start, too.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Barb Roop.
Barb Roop. I love Barb Roop. Barb Roop, you are my favorite. There is no one like Barb Roop. Was there a reason you were giving a shout out?
She sat down next to me on Sunday evening. We started talking. She's got a book she's going to bring me about growing a congregation. And I'm looking forward to reading that book. But I just want to give her a shout out because she is a dedicated listener.
Yes,
she likes all of our stuff and shares all of our stuff, and we just love us some Barb Roop. We just do.
That is exactly right. And we, you know, I wish there were more Barb Roops in this world.
We could all use some more Barb Roops. That's for sure.
Because if you do not know Barb Roop, you cannot go into her presence without being encouraged.
Nope, you can't. And she brings people to church in droves. Never seen anything like it in my life. It's wonderful.
She is absolutely fantastic. We love Barb Roop. So I'm very glad you gave that shout out today. You interrupted me. I was saying something. I don't remember what it was. Therefore, what probably? If we did a the best of episode, yeah, that's like way too much audio editing. You know,
I think we're just going to start bringing people on the program. We'll just start sending out feelers, things of that sort. We may be able to bring on two or three people on the 100th episode, maybe an Alan Webster, maybe a John Farber, maybe somebody else.
I am texting John Farber right now, and
but we've got a good program in store for everybody today. It's a program we've been talking about doing for a while, a title, but we haven't. I think we've been talking about it for about 3 weeks. Is that right?
Yeah.
3 weeks that we've been talking about doing this.
Yeah, I think about 3 weeks. And, you know, you threw this idea out, and I loved the idea from the very beginning. And then you said, hey, I've got an outline that we can use. And,
yeah, I'm getting ready to turn it into a sermon, so...
And you said, I'll send it to you. And, you know, this was like 24 hours ago. And I thought, man, that would be great if I had time to look over the outline and everything. But, Zach, you have to hit the send button.
I hit the send button, Keith. It just didn't send.
You have no proof of that whatsoever.
I'm telling you. I sent it yesterday. I was like, okay, Keith's got it. I'm going to basketball practice. We're good. I get here this morning. What are you talking about? I didn't get anything.
I didn't. I didn't get anything. So, you know, I have had 4 minutes to look over this outline. So, you know, it's going to be a fun episode when I've had 4 minutes to look over the outline. But
I'll be your guide. I'll be your leader. I'll take you into the deep, dark depths of this title.
If I can translate that for you, dear listeners, that means Zach is going to go on rants today instead of me.
Yeah. Last week, Keith had a 45-minute rant. Today, it's my turn.
You know what? It was so funny because, and not to get into too much technical stuff, but we actually record this three ways. And, we record it using Skype, and then we each record our own audio, and we try to put that audio together, but very rarely does it work for this reason.
Last week it did work.
Last week it did work, and it worked very well. And if you have been listening to the last several episodes, I hope you noticed a great improvement in the audio quality because of the way that we did it. But I pulled the files in and dropped them into the editor that I was using, and I looked at mine, and it's just like bump, 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 you know, because it gives you the waveforms and everything. Yeah. And yours, Zach, just had these, long spans of flat line, and I thought, oh, man, I did all the talking last week.
Yeah.
So, it'll be interesting to see what the waveforms look like this week, but anyway.
The title for today's episode is Making God into Man's Own Image.
Now, wait, what?
What? Making God into man's own image.
Well, shouldn't we be making man in God's image? Yeah, were we
created in God's own image, Keith? Isn't that what Genesis tells us?
We're created in God's own image? But you're talking about making God into man's own image. Oh, my. Okay. All right. Spencer just walked into the room.
Oh, no. He's late.
And I'm waiting for comments here, about the fact that we're in the nursery.
Yeah.
All right. So, Spencer, I'm gonna move this microphone over here, and hopefully it's going to pick both of us up decently enough.
It should.
I think that's going to work right there.
Right. Zach,
I'm going to pull out my headphones here. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. So the downside is that the recording on my auxiliary device is going to pick you up also. But
okay.
So Spencer, lean in here and say hey to Zach.
Hey Zach, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Spencer?
I'm doing great. I hear you are like a popular demand online. Is that true?
Apparently that is the rumor. I don't know if it's true or not though.
Okay, well let's go with that though.
It sounds really good to me. I appreciate you bring that into the program. Let the listeners know, man. Let them know.
Okay, so Spencer, perfect timing. Here's the topic that we're talking about today: making God into man's own image. And this is an outline that Zach was supposed to have sent to you and I last night, but it didn't get it for whatever reason.
I did, but Keith didn't get it. That's
how
it worked.
You have no proof of that, but
I'm telling you, that worked.
You have to hit the send button.
Anyway.
So anyway, we're just getting started here with the actual topic that we're talking about. So yeah, we're about 17 minutes into the recording, and you have missed absolutely nothing.
Oh,
yeah. So
complete rants about nothing.
So Zach, go ahead and start us off here. How do we make God into our image?
Now, I've got three separate points that I've taken out. Now, not saying that we're going to get through all three points, because we probably won't, because we never do. And in fact, these three points may turn into three separate episodes, knowing Keith. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. Blame me.
These I've developed three separate points about how we make God into our own image. And the first point that I came up with was we reduce his standard for us. And I think a lot of times, instead of following the standard that was set by Jesus, we've kind of manipulated that standard into something that is easier for us to follow because we feel that God's standard is too high. And I tell this story all the time. There's a story about a Confederate general, and he was leading his men through a Union line. And this man went right through the Union line and up a hill, and he got to the top of the hill, and his men were still standing at the bottom of the hill. And he said, "Men, come up to the standard, come up to the standard." And his men said, "No, bring the standard back down to us." And I think a lot of times that's the mindset that we take towards God's standard for us.
Oh, yeah, you're done with the story. I forgot.
Yeah, this is a podcast. Yeah, you're supposed to talk to.
You're exactly right, Zach. We do tend to try to make God's standards match what we want to do.
Right.
And we use all kinds of excuses for doing that. And Spencer actually on Sunday talked about different excuses that we make incidentally. Ooh. And Spencer,
throw some out.
Before you got here this morning, Steve was in the office and he said something to Cheryl and he said, well, I'll come by it honest. And Cheryl's like, you can't say that.
Yeah, and, that's right.
And you know, we started bombarding her with all those different excuses that, that we tend to make. And, you know, we love to make excuses for ourselves.
Yeah, we do. Spencer, throw some excuses out, man. I'm eager to hear them.
The most common ones, and I was referencing Ezekiel 18 when they sang this song or said this proverb, our fathers have eaten sour grapes.
Right.
Children's teeth are set on edge. The idea is we're suffering, but it's our mommy's and daddy's fault. Okay. So they're putting blame everywhere. So people will say something like, well, I was born this way. And because I was born this way, an entire script for my life was forced on me, and I am powerless to do anything about that. So right. In some senses, I can't obey some of what God says because of the genetic disposition that I was born with.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point.
There's one excuse. Another one might be like if it makes you happy. So we had that great song that everybody claps to. And it's the trump card of our culture is if you can convince other people this is what makes me happy and it works for me, well, then nobody can say anything of critique. Even God's word can't because it works for you. So there's another one. It all reminds me of Romans 1. You exchange the truth of God for a lie. You take God's standard and you trade it for your own. Most often, it endorses what I already do, and I don't have to really work for anything.
Isn't it funny that that's the way it works?
That's right.
You know, we never adopt one of these standards. Well, now, I won't say never, because sometimes we do adopt standards that allow us to transition into what we want to become. But most often, you know, what we're talking about in particular right now, we're defending the way that we are already behaving.
Yes.
And I think that goes into my point about how we tend to not cling towards God's standard for us, but then we cling towards society's standard for us because it's an easier standard to follow. God's standard is much, much harder to follow than society's standard because society's standards are constantly changing.
Well, and if you look at the history of man, and you know, I'm thinking in particular about the children of Israel as they were approaching the end of the judges, and you know they come to Samuel and they said, "We want a king." Why did they want a king?
To be like everybody else.
To be like everybody else. And you know, we look at that and we find ourselves wanting to be like everybody else.
Yes, we do.
And then we begin making excuses as to why we should be behaving like everyone else.
And we talked about that, 2 weeks ago, how we compare ourselves to others and their Christianity. Well, I wish I could pray like Joe, or I wish I could sing like Steve, or I wish I could preach like so-and-so, instead of developing our own standard and holding ourselves to God's standard, we hold ourselves to the standard of other people. And that's a really good point. But I think another thing that we do is we look at God as, you know, just another guy, a guy that wants me to be happy, a guy that wants me to live my life the way that I want to live my life, a guy that doesn't really care if I sin. He just wants me to be happy in the life that I'm living. And I think that's a misstep, a misguided step in our Christianity as well.
Yeah, I mean, you think about where that could lead. Let's say I'm a guy who, the reference I used was, I'm a guy who likes 10-year-old boys. And that makes me happy. I think most people still today find that repulsive. But why? If I use that reasoning, why is that wrong? I'm taking it to an extreme, but it's the same principle as what they use for so many other things. And God made it clear to us there is a predestination. He has a destination in mind for us, and it's to be like his son, and nothing short of that. We're going way too low in our goal for ourselves when we want to be like everybody else and not like Jesus. That's just way too low a bar to set. And yet we're willing to do that because it's easy to hit.
That's a really good point.
And I'm going to borrow another point that Spencer made the other day. I don't even know if you remember making this point, but it's a point that I have made often myself. But nowhere within the Word of God, do we find God saying, you know, after he put man on this earth, I sure hope you like it here.
Yeah.
You know, and the truth of the matter is, and I'm not saying this to be discouraging to anyone in any way, but if we find ourselves liking our lives on this earth too much, where is our motivation to go to heaven?
Right.
Amen.
Yeah, the choices he set before them before going to the promised land and to keep the promised land are life and death. That's the two options you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And he defines what those are. Life is living according to my commandments. Death is not. So those are the two choices you have. And so if you choose not to and you choose to be happy here, you're choosing death in the eyes of God. And that's a bad choice. We know this, but so many people want to. So many people do.
That's such a good point. And by reducing his standard for us, then we make God into our own image. And the second point that we want to cover today is we use his word for our benefit. And the first thing that came to my mind was instead of using his word for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training, which we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we use his word for the support of the beliefs that we want to hold in the life that we want to live.
Yes.
And, you know, as and of course, there are so many different ways that we could go with this right now. Zach, I know you have heard me say three words over and over again over the years: context, context, context.
Amen.
When it comes to the word of God, and you know, we need to have that skill set to be able to look at the word of God and to determine the context as we are studying the word of God. And when we are making application of the word of God to our lives, you know, with that context is so very important. But you know, if you go there to 2 Timothy 3:16 and you look at what Paul wrote about the instruction, the rebuking, the correction, and the training, those things, those four things are actually talking about four different aspects of our lives. You know, there it's not four different ways of saying the same thing. Paul's telling, you know, the word of God is profitable for these four different things. But I don't mean to get sidetracked on that because that wasn't the point that you were making. The point that you were making is we're not doing those things. Instead, we are using the word of God to try to uphold what we desire instead of what God desires for us.
And in doing so, we're taking those words, the word of God, out of context in order to fit the things that we want it to fit. Mitch, you got anything you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, book, chapter, and verse does not solve everything because many people, I mean, you look at creation, Genesis 2, 3, and then you see the temptation of Jesus. Satan is well acquainted with the words of God, and he can use them. He can quote them. Sometimes
he used them to tempt Jesus in the desert.
See, he added a word when he's talking to Adam and Eve, but in Jesus, he quoted it correctly.
Yes.
He quoted it correctly, but he applied it to the wrong thing. So just because somebody has a book and a chapter and verse and even has a really spiritual mindset and he can apply something from the word doesn't mean it's an accurate application. And it's so easy for us to, I mean, Matthew 7:1 is the classic, judge not.
Oh, yes.
So many people like to quote that thinking that there's somehow a spiritual veto on any critique of their behavior.
And then that goes back to, don't you want me to be happy?
Yes, it does.
You look down a few verses and you see you will know them by their fruits.
Yes,
you will know them by the things that they do in their lives.
That's great.
And I think another thing that we see oftentimes is we see denominations, you know, certain denominations, it doesn't matter who it is, fitting certain scriptures into their agendas or the narratives that they're trying to speak to these people, and you know, it's false teachers, it's false doctrine, and you see these people using these things, taking them out of context, and in doing so, creating these false ideas, false impressions of Scripture, and they're using them to lead people astray from God.
Sure.
And we could go through example after example of how those things have snowballed. Yes. And sort of taken on a life of their own. Going back, Zach, to what you said and to what Spencer has said, to me, when you start talking about, for example, Satan using scripture but then applying it to the wrong areas, to me, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Yes.
Because I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the guy who is trying to please God the way that God wants to be pleased. Mm-hmm. And it we find examples within the scriptures of those, unlike Satan, who really thought they were doing right.
Mm-hmm.
They believed that they were doing right with all of their hearts. And then they found out the hard way that they were not. And I think of the young prophet who was sent to Jeroboam. He went, he did what God told him to do. He delivered the message to Jeroboam just as God had said. But then he was seduced on his way home into believing a lie, and it cost him his life.
So, I would say, making reference to denomination, I know a lot of faithful preachers who have made those mistakes. It's very easy to do because yes. It's not just about knowing the word, but rightly dividing it, knowing exactly how it applies in these contexts of today. And I've tried to think of on this point is how we can make this mistake. I know Philippians 4:13 is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And people will use that for all sorts of things that are outside and beyond the context of Philippians chapter 4, where he's saying,
yes, they will.
I can live with any circumstance that I'm put in to be faithful, rich, poor, whatever. I can be faithful. It's not about I can slam a basketball. I guarantee it because Jesus is going to help me. So you make it a Nike symbol, right? People right. have done that with that verse. And I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper and not to harm. And people take that, strip it from its context, put it on a bracelet, and they claim whatever they want from it. It's very easy to do and this.
Those are two passages that it's sad to say, but you rarely see them actually used in their context.
Correct.
And it's sad.
And there are others like that. There's several others. Yes.
Yep. And the old adage is, times change, but the Bible doesn't change. But still, we see people trying to fit the Word of God into the current societal or the current political environment that we are in right now, and they take it out of context. You are even seeing people today use the Word of God to support homosexuality. Well, Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. It right. never came from his mouth. So he never condemned it. So, it's okay. And you see that's not just the only example. There are multiple examples of people using the Word of God to promote false ideas and false doctrine. And I think, and this is my personal opinion, I think we are associating the church and we're associating his word with political parties when we should not be doing that. We're associating the church and, sorry, but this may upset people, but we're associating church with the Republican Party because they stand for Christian values. Well, the Republican Party isn't the church. The church is the church, and God's law is his law, and man's law is their law. It's
That's
two
right.
separate laws. But I think far too often we are associating the church and the Word of God with political parties in order to sway people politically, and I don't agree with that whatsoever.
And then you might add to that, we don't apply scripture that we find difficult. It's not that we abuse it or take it out of context, we just ignore it.
Amen.
There's plenty of scripture out there that really, man, if I took this seriously, it would really, I'd have to rearrange my life. And so I'm just going to kind of conveniently forget that passage is there.
Right.
And that's just as harmful as decontextualizing one.
Were you reading the article that I was just writing? That goes along
just
with
great
that.
Minds think alike.
That article will hopefully be dropped on the website here and as soon as I get time to finish it. But
I've got one too.
I'll make sure he hits send, okay?
Don't listen to him. He's a false teacher. He doesn't know the truth.
Let me make 2 points here real quick, Zach. We as a program are not supporting or condemning any political actions.
No, we are not.
You were mentioning specifically that there are some who are making an association based upon certain beliefs, but by the laws imposed upon us by the FCC for this legally to be aired on the radio, we have to point out that we're not making any political associations way or the other, and that the point you were making was that we should not be, as the church, making any of those political associations.
Yes.
That was a little legal disclaimer that I needed to throw in.
Sometimes I get off the hinges a little bit, say some stuff I may not supposed to be saying, but I'm going to say it anyway.
As far as the podcast goes, we can pretty much say whatever we want.
Yeah, we don't have a budget.
But for that's right. As long as we stay in the budget, which is zero, by the way, Spencer. For it to air on the radio, we have to make that point. The point that I wanted to go back and grab, I learned a very valuable lesson here about 15 years ago. I went on a mission trip to Guyana, and we were in the rainforest in Guyana. We were back where people were literally living in huts. And these people had, from our perspective, nothing. And you talk about being behind the times. These people, as far as technology and everything goes, they were 50 to 100 years behind, where we are today.
I can only imagine.
And so I really don't know what I was expecting as I went into that environment. But what I found was they were struggling with the exact same problems that we struggle with. And it all goes back to what John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the reason I wanted to bring that point out was because, we sometimes have that argument thrown at us that times are changing. And I don't know how many times I've heard people say that, the Bible's outdated. It's antiquated. It has no relevance to our society today. That experience that I had in the rainforest of Guyana taught me the exact opposite, that sin is sin, and therefore the problems of sin are going to exist in humanity no matter what kind of house you live in or what your income is or what kind of car you drive or don't drive. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are plaguing humanity the same as they always have. They may take on slightly different shapes, but those avenues of temptation are still the same. Now,
that's a really great point.
So, Zach, how does that apply to what we're talking about today? Making God into man's own image. Trying to get us back on track here, Spencer.
I was going to ask Spencer if he had anything he wanted to add before we moved on to the next
point. You know Spencer has something he wants to add.
I'm sure he has something to add. I love his opinion.
I just think that I'm going to wax political here just to say we should mention our president and the Republican Party or Democratic Party as often as Paul mentioned Caesar, which was not very much.
Right.
He mentioned Jesus a whole lot more. And that needs to be what we focus on and kind of let him transform in whatever way he wants to all these other issues. But I just think we've got to be a people who are of the word again, if you can tell me and you can show me the word says this, I will change my life and conform to it. And that needs to be who we are. That still needs to be what we preach and teach and everything in our worship and everything in our life. That's the same as it was with the apostles, and it's the same with us.
Let's be of the word and not of the world.
That's right.
Yep. And by using his word for our benefit, by taking his word out of context in order to fit whatever idea that we want it to fit, we are making God into our own image. And the third and final point that we want to make, we made it through all 3 points. Well,
not yet,
but we're almost about make it through all 3 points, which we haven't done in a long time. But the third point that we want to make today is by trivializing sin, we make God into our own image. And the thing that we hear all the time, and I'm sure Spencer's got some sayings about this one as well, but the thing that we say all the time is, yeah, I know it's a sin, but I don't think God will really care. And I've heard that one over and over and over again. And we use Romans 3, verse 23, for we have all fallen short of the glory of God as an excuse to sin. Well, if everybody else is doing it, you know, why am I trying so hard not to do it?
Yeah, capturing a sense of how God sees sin is very hard for humans. Because every single sin, little or big in our eyes, are tragic in the sight of God. And somehow we've lost that somewhere. But that's nothing new to us. Paul in Romans 6, you know, are we just going to sense that grace looks bigger? We can make God look better by him being able to forgive us and our sins. And he says, God forbid. He says, you've got to have a view of sin that lets you realize it breaks the heart of God. And it costs a lot for him to be able to forgive that sin. And I don't know. I don't know how to fix this. I think this is a number one issue in our world is we just don't think sin's any big deal.
Yeah.
It's already been paid for. So what's the big deal about this? And I'm not sure how to fix that. But somehow we got to capture a sense of how God sees sin.
Well, and it's not helping that we're living in a society that says that whatever the problem is, it's somebody else's fault.
Yes.
And, yeah. You know, and like I said, it doesn't matter what it is. It's somebody else's fault. And, you know, until we can take responsibility for our own actions and realize that we are the ones who have a problem, we're never going to make any headway there.
Not only that, but we've got to recognize it as a problem. So there'll be people that try to say, well, it's just not a big deal. It's kind of how I'm always. Here's another one of the sayings you were asking for. And that is, well, it's just how I am. This is the way I am. I've always been impatient. I've always had a bad temper, and you're just going to have to get used to it. And that's just God's gotten used to it. Now you got to get used to it. And no Christian has a right to make that statement.
No, they do not.
Applying the word to your life and your circumstance and making you work hard. And we all have to work hard at different things. Any Christian who's not working at something right now, something is wrong with them. Mm-hmm. We're always under this do-it-yourself project. Actually, not yourself, by the Spirit of God. But if you've got this anger problem, you've got to be doing something. You cannot let yourself sign a peace treaty with your sin. You don't have that right.
That's a good point. Oh, wow, that was good.
Well, it was. I'm going to have to remember that. Let me write that.
Say, you need to make a sermon out of that one. That was good.
But that's exactly what we're doing. I love that. That was awesome, Spencer. We're signing a peace treaty with our sin.
I'm going to use that in my sermon.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to use that in my sermon, so thank you.
You missed the part where we were talking about I was not going to tell Zach what I'm going to talk about at the Youth Devo Saturday night because he would steal the idea and then make it sound like I stole it from him. So Zach's freely admitting that he's going to take your idea and make it his own.
In a Christian context, there's no such thing as stealing. We just broke the rule we just said. Sorry.
Right. And I think another thing that we try to do is we try to self-justify our sins. We try to say, well, you know, I told a lie, but at least I'm not a murderer. At least I don't murder people for a living. At least, you know, my sin's not that big. It's not as bad as a murderer or a rapist or something of that sort. My sin's not that big. I just told a little white lie. It doesn't matter. And, you know, I think I went to James chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Now, you guys may have some different verses that you want to go to, but James chapter 2, verses 9 through 10 say, "But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." You guys got a point you would like to make from that?
Yeah, I just want to say real quick, as soon as I get this article uploaded, go to the website and read it. I'm not going to talk about what's in it because then you won't go to the website and read it. But
right,
it's kind of ironic that that I had that article 90% finished and then we start talking about this. So, Spencer, you got anything that?
No, I think I see it in me sometimes. So I'll just use self-revelation here. I liken it to if a guy, his dad is highway patrolman, and he breaks some rules and he does some illegal things, but his dad is a highway patrolman and is able to sweep that under the rug, and he feels emboldened by this to think that he's entitled to be a little bit above the law. I think ministers can do this because ministers have a sin problem too.
Mm-hmm.
I think we get to a point where we've served God and we think we've got insider privileges, and we think that, but I work so hard for the Lord, so me viewing this pornography or whatever is going to be God saying, that's okay, that's a hidden vice you can keep because you serve me so well in these other areas. I think there are people who can figure out ways to say, you know, it is sin, it is wrong, but it's just, it's not a major one. It doesn't hurt anybody. There's no victims to this. And I serve him so well in other areas, I'm going to do a trade-off. And God, as an insider, as a child, my dad's going to take care of it, and no one's ever going to see this. I can think that way sometimes. I can fool myself into thinking that. When in actuality, as a minister who knows more than most, maybe, I'm more obligated, not less. I should be.
That's a whole nother topic, you know.
But it's yes.
Don't get Keith sidetracked because we will not make it through the third point. Anyway.
With opportunity comes responsibility, but with knowledge also comes responsibility.
Absolutely.
I kind of wanted to get sidetracked on this the topic of insider privileges. Because you know, we love that feeling of being an insider and being able to do things that other people cannot do. And Zach, don't tell me you have never, as a basketball coach, taken advantage of some of the perks that go along with it.
Yeah, sometimes when I'm running the kids in practice, they've done something wrong, I take a chair and I sit it right in the middle of the court, and I just sit down in the chair and watch them run.
That's quite what I had in mind, but
that's a form of torture, I think. But anyway, continue.
I'll take
a nice cold bottle of water, and I'll slowly drink that nice cold bottle of water.
Now you're getting closer, though. But have you, as a basketball coach, ever gone to the concession stand at a game and they're like, here, have this bag of M&Ms. Oh, it's on us, you know.
Oh, yeah. Or you get a free bottle of water or a drink because your throat's going to get hoarse because you're having to yell so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just you know, some maybe, you know, insider perks, right. You know. But we can take that idea as Christians and take some liberties, I suppose you might say, whether it is in our worship, whether it is in our service, whether it is in our everyday life, and you know, try to take advantage of, and going back to Spencer's analogy of you don't know who my dad is, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, we probably would not ever say those words. Certainly we should not ever say those words. But, you know, we can adopt that kind of attitude, making God into our own image instead of deciding that we're going to conform into his image.
And I think we've got about 6 minutes left. Is that right, Keith? About six?
Yeah, about six.
So I wanted to make the final point here in this third point. I was listening to a recording. It was Glenn Colley, and it was him at one of the elders' classes at PTP that he teaches sometimes. And he made the comment that really struck me, and he said, you know, you're a Christian first, and you're an elder second. You have to make sure that you maintain your Christian lifestyle before you can ever serve as an elder. And I think a lot of times the same point that Spencer made, we look at it, okay, well, you know, I'm a pulpit minister. So, you know, because I'm a pulpit minister, I get to do certain things that other Christians don't get to do because my level of service is so much greater than right. their level of service. You right. know, they don't do anything and I do all of it. So I get to do all the things that I want to do. And you know, we look at it that way, and we try to combine the two when we should be separating the two. We have to live a Christian lifestyle before we can ever perform service for God. We have to do the things in our life that we're supposed to be doing before we can ever preach, before we can ever sing, before we can ever do anything in a worship service setting. And I think that's an important point that you made, and I like that point a lot. I'm also
that metaphor. Actually, parable Jesus tells that you are a servant of God and you go out and you work all day and you come in. He doesn't say, well, sit down here, I'll serve you. No, you get up and you cook supper because he doesn't owe you anything. You're a servant.
Right.
I don't know. Our view is weird. We've almost taken a worldly view of a celebrity and applied that to the preacher of the church. When actuality, it's the biblical image of a servant that is to be what we use to guide us. And so we're servants, and hey, he doesn't owe us anything, even if we had perfect service.
And, you know, and this is just kind of a side note, but in my years of being a preacher, my family and I, we have always tried to view ourselves as a member of the congregation first. And I'm a member of the Lord's church who just happens to preach. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, going back to what you said, some people don't know how to handle that.
No, they don't.
But, you know, it's, but Zach, I want to take what you were saying and I want to kind of blow it up a little bit. Okay. And I know okay. we don't have much time, so I'm going to blow it up fast.
You know, really we have all the time in the world cause we have no budget. So we have as much time as we want.
As long as we stay in the budget, we're good. But you know, okay, let's stop picking on preachers or elders or deacons or, you know, whatever for just a moment, because every Christian is a priest.
Mm-hmm.
Every Christian is a priest of God. And so what you were talking about with, you know, making sure that we apply it to ourselves first applies to every Christian. And, you know, we're not, none of us are special. None of us are exempt from anything that God has said. And, you know, ultimately that applies to all of humanity. And sometimes, and you know, this goes along with this entire discussion that we've had today, but sometimes we are looking for loopholes in our service to God.
Yes, we are.
And we are looking for something where we can say, I'm glad that applies to you, and I'm gladder it does not apply to me.
That's a really good point.
And I guess as if we're all priests, the job of a priest is to show the people who don't know God accurately who God is.
Yes.
Which means we teach that way, we act that way, and when we don't, we repent the way you're supposed to.
Yes.
If we've got sin, we need to repent just like everybody else does. Otherwise, we forfeit being a priest because we're misrepresenting God rather than teaching about him.
And that goes for the public and the private sense as well.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of times, the public sense, you know, you're committing public sins. People know that you're committing these sins, but still you're still claiming to be a Christian, following God's law, and still trying to bring others to Christ, whether you're a preacher, whether you're just telling others about Christ like we should be, evangelizing. And same goes with your private sins. People may not know about them, but they're still sins that separate you from God and, yes. and sometimes keep you from, you know, it help you to develop biases when you're preaching the word of God.
That's right.
Let me ask this question, and I'm hoping to do so in a manner that will close out this discussion. What happens to a priest whose garments are soiled? He can't serve.
That's a good point.
A priest under the old law whose garments were soiled was ineligible to serve.
So in the New Testament, if we're all priests, that applies to all believers.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yep. That's a good point.
So get your garments clean.
Is that your summary?
That's my summary. Get your garments clean.
Get them garments cleaned.
Hey, we need to wrap this up. Facebook.com/Let's Talk About Christianity.
www.letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
Contact information, Keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
And my contact information is Keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
Because
and then he will forward that email to you. Or he'll forward it to me.
Still hadn't figured out how to set up his email. And then Instagram @LTACpodcast.
Yep. Got a lot of good stuff on all those outlets.
iTunes.
Yes. We're on iTunes.
Yeah, just proving that anybody can get on iTunes.
Literally. So we want to thank Spencer for coming on the program today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Man, this is awesome. And maybe you can become one of our regular co-hosts or our guests. We've got this new –
Can I email in while you guys are doing it? That'd be fun.
Yes, man. Seriously, we've got this cool new thing called Skype, and we can add as many calls as we want. So you can Skype from wherever you are and still talk to us.
Just to break it to you, the whole time you were talking, he was sending emails to his daughter. I know.
He does that. He texts while I talk, too. He don't listen to me. My opinion doesn't matter. Anyway.
Why am I here?
Why am I here?
Oh,
you're like – You got two young guys and then the watchkeeper over here.
I'm watching the clock. So, yeah. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.